Y'all sit down for a minute. We're going to do one more song for you, but I want to share a little bit before we get into it. How many of y'all got grandbabies in here? Anybody? Kids? Let me tell you something. The greatest, and D.A., you back me up on this, you help me. The greatest day of your life as a parent or as a grandparent is the very first time them babies look you in the eye and say, I love you. You hear me? Now, I was on FaceTime. I've been waiting. I was watching my little grand, you know, me and Tricia, we went shopping. And of course, son was in there and he was at the Walmart because, you know, we're rich preachers, so we shop at the Walmart, amen? We don't shop at the dollar store. We go to the Walmart. I mean, my baby's going to have the best, all right? And everybody knows that's at the Walmart. And so, and when we eat beans, we have some hamburger meat in it, and we just ain't eating beans. Come on. But we was walking through there, and I said, we're going to go over here and get this. We're going to get that. My son looked at me. You know, y'all know them boys, when they get up old enough, they're like, I don't need your help, Daddy. And he said, no, Daddy, she don't need that. And I'll never forget, I looked at him, and I said, oh, I apologize. I said, I didn't realize I asked for your opinion. I said, this was between me and her. I said, so follow along, because I said, I'm going to buy this for her. And so me and Trish, we gathered it up, and they went home. And they FaceTimed me last night. And she was sitting there on the couch, and she had her hair up. It looked like pebbles. And so I got this deal, and I ain't never got to hear this baby say, I love you. They said she talks, but I thought they was lying, because all I ever saw was a pacifier and her going, more, more, talk. So we got her on FaceTime, and her mama said, Rayleigh, said, tell G-Paw that you love him. And I'll never forget, for the first time, she said, I love you. It's over. Do you hear me? Now, I'm telling you that story because there's something about a daddy. There's something about a granddaddy. There's something about a father that he loves to love you, and he loves to hear from you that you love him. You hearing me? You can say all day long, he knows that I love him. Folks, let me tell you something. You're not promised tomorrow. If you love somebody, get off of your rear end and look them in the eyes and say, I love you. And tonight, you may have been told 1,000 times how much God loves you. I came to reiterate it to you one more time, that he loves you so much that he gave the very best he had, his only son. He didn't have one in reserve that he could pull back up in case something went wrong. He said, I'm going to send you the very best I have. I'm not going to tell you that I love you. I'm going to demonstrate that I love you in this way, that while you were yet a sinner, that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the hooker in Shreveport. He died for the drug addict in Greenwood. He died for the liar that's in jail. He died for the guy that's been dealing drugs for 20 years. He died for them because he was screaming to humanity, I love you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now hear me. So tonight, we're going to sing a song, and it's a song by Crowder. And the first time I heard it, there ain't nothing country about it, but the words, it says, he is jealous for me. Last night, if I could have jumped through that phone, I was jealous. I wanted to get them lovings on me. You ever had them baby lovings on you where they get that slobber on you? That's a good lovings. Tonight, some of you need a Holy Ghost slobbering loving on you. You need to be moved from where you're at so that God can get you to where he's intended you to be. So as we sing this song, sing it with us. And remember that the God of all heaven, a universe-breathing God, is screaming out tonight, I love you, how he loves. Whoa. jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. Listen to how He loves, and oh, how He loves us all. Oh, how He loves us, how He loves us so. Tonight, if you haven't told Him you love Him in a long time, won't you just take time? What do you got to lose? What do you have to lose to just stand up and say, God, I love You. I'm a mess, and I've got all kinds of mistakes, but I love You. I love You, God. I love You, God. And we are His portion, and He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If His grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Yeah. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my jeans. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Let's sing it this way tonight. We love You. Oh, how we love You. We love You. Oh, how we love You. Oh, how we love You. Oh, how we love. Now with no instruments, I want to hear your voices. We love You. Oh, how we love You. Oh, how we love You. Oh, how we love.
Just right where you're standing tonight, I just want to remind you that these are not words that Dennis Aaron and Ray Perryman, when we stand, that we tell you, we believe it at our core because it has been shown to us. I promise you, the man that pastors here and the man that is preaching here at the moment, I guarantee you, God didn't tell us that He would love the hell out of us. God demonstrated that He would love the hell out of us. As a matter of fact, He demonstrated to us that when we were at our worst, when we cried out to Him, that God never ran from us, but God always ran to us if we would have the courage to stay where we were at, crying out, God, I need You. And if you're in this place tonight and you need God to do something in your life, honey, when are you going to quit running? When will you quit running? And when will you stop and begin to simply say, God, here I am. I've been putting on all of the facades that there are, God, but this is me. I am broken, I am battered, I am tattered, but I'm tired of being stagnant, God. I want to know You, and I want to grow in You. While you're still standing, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to share a brief message because the Holy Spirit's doing some stuff already here. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you beyond words. Matter of fact, there are no words in the English language to honestly describe my love for you. There's not an action that could describe my love for you. But God, your son hanging on that cross, it quite well described your love for me. And for that man in this place, for that woman in this place, for that young man or young woman in this place tonight, God, that they absolutely, when they look in the mirror, they see something unlovable tonight. When they look in the mirror, let them see a picture of the cross and the gift that was given for them. Father, I thank you that tonight the running will stop unless we are running to you. That tonight we will quit trying to fill our life with things to get by, and we will get by the only thing that matters. Oh, Father, we honor you for what you're going to do in this place tonight. Now, Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? You may be seated. Will you guys just hang out? Y'all cool with that? Y'all know me. I ain't going to be long. I know what time it is. I promise you. Don't worry. I ain't going to be long. Go to Exodus with me quickly. You might want to go to Matthew chapter 11. I don't know that we'll get there. Matter of fact, I highly doubt it, but that's where we may go. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. The Lord has been dealing with me for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, about his presence. And he has only gotten stronger with me about his presence. I mean, his presence changes everything. How many of you guys would agree? Amen? I remember years ago, I mean, this is not really a good church story, but I only know how to relate things, and that's through my real life. D.A., I was in a bar one night, and I was chasing this girl. And she had, I know, it's hard to believe. I understand, all right? And she had a boyfriend, and I'd been watching this boyfriend, and he was a jerk. And I got enough of that liquid courage in me that I just decided that this was the last night that he was going to treat her like a jerk, and that I was fixing to speak to him in a language he could understand, which was his nose on the other side of his face. And then I was going to kick him a little bit while he was down, explain him that girl right there, first of all, she's going home with me. And second of all, she's worth more than that. And so here we were at this bar. And look, if you're a good religious person in here and you get offended by this, I would love to apologize to you, but there's a world dying and going to hell. And you religious stuck up people ain't doing nothing about it except having a religious club. No wonder people don't want to come with you, because if they get real, you get gone. Amen. We need to realize that when people get real, we need to get to them. Amen. And so anyway, I was there, and all of a sudden, here I was, and I was headed to him. And I mean, I come like this, and I'll never forget. The Jolly Green Giant grabbed a hold of me. And I was like, and when I turned around, his name was Tiny. Tiny was my Sunday school teacher. But Tiny was 6'7", weighed 450 pounds. I don't know if he could whoop me, because he might be out of breath before it went along, but he said, "What you about to do?" I said, "I am fixing to throttle that young man right there." And he said, "Wait a minute." He said, "Man, we've been friends a long time." He said, "Why don't I just kick him out, and then we'll go upstairs and drink, and that way we ain't got no problem." I said, "I like the way that you're thinking." Amen? So listen to me. There's a time in your life when you are absolutely at a crossroads. Well, you have got to understand that you're up against something bigger than yourself. And it becomes important who's with you. I mean, this day, it ain't a good spiritual analogy, but the bouncer was on my side. Amen? He was my friend. Some of us in this house need to know tonight, and I challenge you, you ought to get the word out. Tell somebody when you go out, say, "God's spiritual bouncer is on my side." Are you hearing me? Because it don't matter what you're coming up against. We have authority in Jesus' name if we'll have the courage to stay in his presence. Now, I could have left Tiny. Even with all the liquid courage I had in me, I could have left Tiny and went to this boy. But you know what? For once in my life, even drunk, I made a good decision. Bye-bye, little boy. I'm going to stay here with your girlfriend, and we're going to drink cold beer, all right? You understand what I'm saying? So here's what I'm asking you. How many of us spiritually, God says, I want you to stay with me because I have the ability to handle anything that you're walking through. But instead, we say, I got this, God, and we take off, and we get in a mess, and then we come back, and either we're going to end up in Pastor Dennis's office or Josh's office or whatever other pastor you got, because typically only us preachers are needed. When something's all hell's breaking loose, or we're in the hospital, or we're dying, or we're getting married. The other time, y'all ain't got no time for us. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Most of the time, generally speaking. And if y'all think that is something that's made up, come travel with us for a little bit, and it is the truth. It's not everyone, but it's most of the time. And they'll come in and they'll say, you just can't believe what's going on. I had to go in and I had to take a drug test, and you know, I failed that drug test, and that lying devil, the devil didn't smoke it, idiot. You smoked it because you ran out of God's presence into the presence of something you thought was comfortable. Hello? Oh. Brother Ray, you can't believe it. My wife's leaving me. I had a moment of weakness and I had an affair. She should leave you, idiot. If as my daughter, I'd have the U-Haul packing her up. And ain't nobody made you do it except you left the spiritual bouncer and took things into your own hands. Hello? Now Moses was smarter than that. Moses had all these people that he wanted. Y'all catching my drift? How many of y'all ever had company? That's probably your relatives. And they've been here long enough and they need to go. Raise your hand. Don't lie. Because if you don't, I'll send my family down here and I promise you it ain't going to take long. My family is like dish soap. A little bit of it goes a long way. All right? And if this is, we are recording this, and that will be edited out, I promise you. Verse 12 of 33, listen. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Now I want to stop here for just a minute. Can you hear, Dennis, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but can you hear Moses going, it's real good that you know me by name. Hi, I know God, you know me, I'm Moses, and I know that I found favor in you, but it ain't helping me with these idiots. Hello? You know how many people need to quit hearing about, oh, how much you believe in Jesus, and they need to see you begin to live like you believe in Jesus? Hello? You know how many people need to quit hearing about how good church was on Sunday and then you act like a fool on Monday? Hello? Am I wrong or am I right? I just need to know. I knew I was. My wife told me I'm right all the time. That's the only way I know. Amen? You want to testify? All right, Sister Sparkle. Y'all see my wife after church, you'll know why the Lord's given her a new name, Sister Sparkle. Amen. She shines. It says, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Now imagine for a moment. You think God knew them was his people? Hello? I do too. Then why in the world would Moses waste any time telling God something he knew? Because he was teaching us a principle. Are you hearing me? Some of you in this place have hidden God's word in your heart so that you may not sin against it, but you've hidden it so deep that you never bring it up anymore. Some of you are walking through some stuff, and instead of getting the word out and standing on that word, you run to what is comfortable to you. Some of it can be Xanax. Some of it can be a bottle. Some of it can be a job. Some of it can be a relationship. I promise you, if you'll quit running to things and run to the thing, the King, and stand on His word, you'll begin to see mountains move in your life, and we'll begin to see our churches full again because we've seen God absolutely do what He was intended to do when we began to stand on His word. You see, God gave us a tongue. How many of you guys in here ever have this problem of opening your mouth before you think? Wives, if you're sitting by a husband who has a problem like that, just raise his hand. Amen. Robin, you was testifying about that early today, wasn't you? Amen. Sometimes something comes out of my mouth and I'm like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. But now listen to me. I say this because if we've hidden God's word within our heart. See, I think a lot of people have been telling us that God's word's been hidden in their heart. But it amazes me that that's not what comes out when they're walking through some stuff. I think maybe what has been hidden in their heart begins to come out of their mouth. Hello? See, when I go buy toothpaste, I like the red kind because I like that cinnamon taste. I know y'all are really worried about my toiletries, and I like soft toilet paper if that matters to anybody. I don't need that spiritual toilet paper that you always get a breakthrough. Amen. I don't need none of that. But I like that toothpaste. That's cinnamon and red. And you know why? And when I buy it, when I squeeze it, I know what's on the inside because it told me what's on the outside. I wonder if we were spiritual toothpaste, if God squoze us, I wonder what would really come out of us. Squoze. Y'all never heard that before? It's a rayism. That means you put your hand around it and squeeze the thunder out of it. He squoze me. If you do that, I promise you, see, hard times, Moses was in a hard time. Hard times will always define what's on the inside of you and who you are. Hello? Am I wrong or am I right? Let's read on. Baby, you listening to this? It's twice in a row I've been right. Let's read on. I see the time. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Verse 14 is where it gets interesting. This is where I really wanted to head tonight. All that other stuff was free. It said, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Now listen to me. I'm not real smart, but I love technology. I already knew that rest was a verb, but just to make sure so that nobody was with a big degree come and told me I was wrong, I looked it up on the dictionary today. I went to the Google. Anybody like the Google? I love the Google. The Google is a good thing, amen? And so I looked it up and I said, rest. And you know what it said? An action. Folks, I want you to know something. Some of us haven't been in God's presence resting there. It's because we absolutely haven't made a choice to be there. Hello? Now some of you may go, Ray, you're preaching hard tonight. I'm preaching truth tonight. See, the presence of God is the most important thing. Can you imagine? I mean, the very first thing that God comes back and shares with Moses is that my presence will be with you. Can you imagine having Tiny with you? Can you imagine having that presence with you? Can you imagine having that spiritual bouncer with you everywhere that you go? Can you imagine hanging out with the presence of the Most High God and knowing that no one and nothing is bigger than what is with you? I'm asking tonight, if you're in here and your marriage is on the rocks, wouldn't it be really cool if you both just went and hung out in the presence of God? You know what I got a feeling? I got a feeling if you got in the presence of God, you get a healed marriage real quick. Because here's what I know. Now listen to me. Some of you may want to write this down. Because in the presence of God, there is, as a result of being in the presence of God, there is always the death of self. Hello? Somebody said, I know, Brother Ray, that's why I don't want to hang out in the presence of God, because I just love myself to death. Some of us have been loving ourselves to death because you know what? We have become content with what we know. Folks, if you ever get in the presence of God, it will transform what you've known as religion your entire life. It looks nothing like what you think it looks like. The presence of God is much brighter. There's much more hope. But you have to have the courage to go and rest. Any of y'all know somebody that just will never stop? Anybody? I do. You ever thought to yourself, if that dude don't stop, he's going to kill himself? Hello? Y'all catching my drift? And how many times have you looked at them and said, stop, rest? And they're like, I can't. I got things to do. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're so important that you can't stop and rest in God's presence, you're just absolutely too important. And I promise you, whenever you get too important, self moves to a place that it never belongs. If you want to see God move in your life, move into the presence of God and just stop. You know what would have happened if that grandbaby could have come through that phone the other night? Yeah, listen to me. I mean, I'm telling y'all the truth. I don't care if the presidents, all of them that were living, was in the room. And that baby had come through that phone. You know what I'd do? I'd look at them and go, have y'all lost your ever loving mind? I am busy right now because the presence of something I love. But for some of us, we haven't been intimate with God in so long. We don't even know how to talk to him anymore. See, resting in his presence becomes very awkward for us because we haven't been there in a long time. I was sitting there, we were watching a movie the other night. It was called Hidden Figures, about the black ladies that helped with NASA get John Glenn into space. And there was one deal in there, and she was about to get married. She had been widowed for a long time. And he said, now listen. He said, don't you think it's about time that I kiss you? And she said, oh, been a long time since I kissed a man, John Wilson. Song, he kissed her the first time, and you could tell. It was just like, oh, that's awkward. I ain't kissed no man in long. That sounds really weird coming from me because I ain't never kissed a man. I'm just telling y'all straight up. That's what she was telling him. I want to make sure we get this right. But now that next time, bear with me. But D.A., that next time, he moved in. Song. He put a lip lock on her like I had put on Miss Tricia many times. Her toes curled straight out, and she cried out, I love you, I love you, I love you. See, all of a sudden, she was willing to go to a place where she wasn't comfortable, and the intimacy you find there is amazing. I promise you, I don't care if you've been saved 100 years. If you haven't been intimate with God in a long time, honey, have the courage to go. There's something new waiting for you in his presence. And God will never give you something in his presence that he doesn't intend for you to use around you. Hello? All right, let's read on. 7:58. I got to hurry. I'm almost on a promise. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now listen to what Moses, smart dude. Then Moses said to him, verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? My God, he found the answer. You want to know what will set you apart in your life? It ain't your Sunday school attendance. It ain't your offering that you gave. It ain't coming and being at church all the time. It ain't working at church all the time. If you want to know what's going to set you apart, it's that when you walk into a building, DA, the presence of God walks in with you. Cal, what if we lived a life where we absolutely never left the presence of God? You go, Ray, I don't know if that's possible. I believe it's possible. I'm a dreamer. I want to live a life where the presence of God is with me everywhere I go, because I have become an incredible pursuer of God. I would love to see marriages take on the image of people who are pursuing the presence of God. I would love to see you that are sitting in these seats take on the image of those that are pursuing God. The presence of God changes everything. I'll put it just like Moses put it. People will know who you are. When spiritual tiny's right there with you. You think it's an accident he said no weapon formed against you would prosper? I don't. If you let his presence in your life. A lot of people have had weapons formed and prosper in their life, and they want to know why God didn't honor his word. And God's going, I don't have any idea. I've been telling you to hang here, and you went yonder. Because my presence was here. That's where the fulfillment of that is. Amen? Bow your heads, close your eyes, I'm done.